Hello everyone, and welcome back to Murder, Mother and Me, where each week we will dive into some of the most infamous murders, mysteries and everything in between.
So if like us you are intrigued by all things true crime, you're in the right place.
I'm your host Josh.
And I'm your other host Patty. I'm the mother.
And I'm the me.
As always, thank you for all the support so far on our podcast.
Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Murder, Mother and Me Podcast. Share with your friends and write us a review.
But only if it's a good one.
Welcome back to our two-part Zodiac special. If you haven't listened to part one already, please go back and listen so that you're up to date on everything we've spoke about so far. In part one, we followed the trail of terror left by the Zodiac killer. Today, in part two, we dive into the suspects, unsolved ciphers, and psychological theories. We'll also examine the ripple effect of a killer who was never caught, a ghost story with real victims. The Zodiac case spawned countless theories and suspects. Police departments and amateur sleuths alike scrutinized thousands of leads. Some suspects came with compelling stories, others with tenuous connections. One of the earliest was Arthur Lee Allen, a Vallejo man who matched several witness descriptions and had a history of suspicious behavior. Allen was investigated thoroughly. He owned guns similar to those used by the Zodiac and was known to wear Zodiac-themed accessories. Yet, despite intensive surveillance and forensic testing, no direct evidence linked him to the murders.
Arthur Lee Allen is the favourite suspect, isn't he? And I must admit, initially, you know, he was a strong contender, wasn't he, for the Zodiac identity, but I just don't think there's anything really to tie him to it. They're saying he matched the description, but the descriptions...
I'm sure thousands of other people did
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, yeah, thousands of other people. And was known to wear Zodiac-themed accessories. What the hell is that?
What was he walking around in a black cloak with eye holes cut out?
I think he's just meant he wore the Zodiac watch, which were very common at the time. You know, they were sort of that time, so that's not unusual either.
Well, it's not unusual. It kind of does play into what we spoke about maybe him getting his name from the watch brand and the face of the watch and stuff, but that doesn't make you a serial killer, does it?
No, it doesn't. It could just be an unfortunate coincidence, couldn't it?
Well, Arthur Lee Allen... Like my mum just said, he's everyone's main suspect, I think. The detectives, everyone that's ever made a documentary about the Zodiac, the film on Netflix. It's all about him, really. There was a documentary called I Am Arthur Lee Allen or something like that, The Zodiac.
There's a lot of them, really.
Like, he is the top contender to be the Zodiac, but I honestly don't think it is him.
There are some things that they did, which I think they did handwriting analysis, and I think it matched... pretty closely, I think. I'm not even sure if it was 100% match. When they did DNA testing on the stamp from the letters the Zodiac had sent in, it didn't match him. But that's not to say that he didn't get someone else to lick the stamp, or, you know, you wouldn't know, would you? Because I think in post offices at that time, I think sometimes the clerk did it for you.
I've also seen videos of Arthur Lee Allen, and I think, to put it bluntly, he seems a bit thick.
I've seen him being interviewed, and I would think in this day and age now, they would have some kind of, you know, the way they can watch people and they've got tells that you can tell if they're lying. But he always seems very sort of calm and collected.
Really
to
nonchalant,
me.
Yeah.
And doesn't, but maybe that's the mark of a killer.
I know, but I don't think he doesn't come across smart enough to me to have came up with all of these ciphers, to have taunted the police like this. Like, it does require a level of thinking behind
maybe
it.
Maybe that's part of the persona, though. Maybe he wants you to think that.
Maybe.
I think the police were so desperate to. I'm not saying that. He didn't match some of the, you know, criteria to be the Zodiac, but I think the police kind of focused in on him, really, and didn't... They put blinkers on and were just on him. I think the lead detective, it became a personal challenge, almost like, I don't know whether you know about the Yorkshire Ripper case, but it drove that poor detective mad because a similar thing happened with the Yorkshire Ripper where they started sending this man from Sunderland, I think he was from, was sending all these, you know... making phone calls and letters and things, and they pinned it down to somebody from the northeast, and they focused solely on that. He wasn't even from the northeast; he was from Yorkshire, wasn't he? So, but it derailed the investigation, and I think because they followed him so closely, they may have missed other people.
I think with Arthur Lee Allen, it's very much like a tunnel vision type of thing. It's like he kind of fits the bill more than other people.
It's that thing where they try to fit the evidence to him instead exactly. of him fitting the evidence.
Exactly,
yeah, that's
and
what I think.
Unfortunately. For any of these suspects that we're going to discuss now, there is no evidence. So that's why the Zodiac's never been caught.
when you say evidence, there's things, isn't there, that can sort of match up. But
well, the main thing for any of these suspects is that you're going to hear a lot, he matches the sketch, he matches the sketch, he matches the sketch. But like we've said, there's probably thousands of people that match the sketch, and we don't even know how accurate these sketches are.
There's no definitive anything to tie him to it, is there? There's no nothing. DNA. And there was DNA on the stamp, and it doesn't mean it wasn't him.
But like you've said, there could be anything, couldn't he? He could have got his dog to lick the stamp.
Exactly. You know, you can't really use that, but that doesn't mean it wasn't him, though.
No, it doesn't, but I think the biggest thing we have is this composite sketch of the, you know, the famous sketch with the wide-rimmed glasses and all of that type of stuff. But
that's what I was going to say about that crime scene at the Lake Berryessa when he stabbed...
He had the clip-on sunglasses.
He had the clip-on sunglasses. Why would you put the clip-on sunglasses over...
So he's put the hood on, he's cut the eye holes out, and he's put a pair of clip-on sunglasses.
He made them... We shouldn't laugh, should we?
No, but it just doesn't make sense.
He made them square, the eye holes, which I just thought was another funny thing. Nothing funny in that way, but it's just weird. And then he put the clip-on sunglasses on.
But I can, again, as funny as that seems to us, because I'm just envisioning it.
It's not funny, I know. It's just weird.
No, I'm saying there had to be a reason that he did that. And the only thing I can think is that he didn't want them to see his eyes.
I think it was because he couldn't see. So probably somebody who wore glasses, and maybe he just, you know, he didn't want the glare in his eyes, did he?
Possibly.
It was a sunny day, wasn't it? Obviously, they wouldn't be lying on the grass.
It also could have been, eyes can be quite a defining feature, you know, shape, size, colour.
Clip-on sunglasses.
It's the fact that it said clip-on as well. Like, what's he clipping the glasses onto?
That's what he wants to clip on. I'm sorry. He wants to clip them onto.
No, we're laughing at the Zodiac, by the way, not anyone else.
No, just laughing at that weird detail, because it's just also... I mean, you need to put a picture up of what he actually wore. So when you're saying there's these composite sketches, it's mainly with that... It's mainly a hood, isn't it? Just a hood with two eye holes.
But there's also the composite sketch of him as they think he looks with the wire-rimmed glasses on and stuff, but... It's been said loads on documentaries and stuff that around that time, a lot of males looked like that. They all wore those kind of glasses. The evidence is that he was stocky. That's it.
Could be anything.
He was stocky and he wore glasses.
I mean, the Lake Berryessa killings, the young man involved in that wore glasses. He looked the same, so it's just... It could have, you know, at that time, it could have fit anyone. There was a certain look, wasn't there?
Okay, so moving on to another suspect, Richard Gajkowski. Was a journalist and editor who allegedly resembled composite sketches and had alleged links to coded messages.
Okay, what's the alleged
links, to coded messages?
He might have been an avid crossword puzzle enthusiast or something, or maybe I read something, and I don't know who it was, but somebody checked books out of the library, you know, that kind of thing about, you know, crossword solving, puzzle solving books and stuff. That doesn't make you a killer either, does it?
No, exactly. And then there was L. Van Best Jr., a man with a shadowy past and cryptic writings that some believed connected him to the Zodiac. So it's all just random. It's exactly what you said before. They're trying to fit people to the evidence.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
The evidence to people.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that I'm a suspect, couldn't you? Well, obviously not for this, but, you know, because I'm interested in true crime. It's a similar kind of thing. They're just picking up threads, really, and trying to attach them to somebody.
And again, I just don't think you can convict someone of being the Zodiac Killer based on the fact that they look like a composite sketch. Some theories even propose the Zodiac was a group, not a lone killer. A conspiracy that explained conflicting witness descriptions and inconsistencies. Others speculated he was a law enforcement officer or someone with access to police information.
Well, I think he was a lone killer. I don't think it was any group effort there. I think it was too consistent all the time. I know it was different methods.
No, there were inconsistencies, but yeah, overall it was quite a consistent...
It was just one person, I think. Yeah. And I think the police probably think that as well. What do you think about him?
To be honest, I've actually never heard that people think it might be a group of people. I've always only ever just heard that it's one man.
I think everybody has got a different theory, and every theory is like a viable theory, but I don't think, for me, that's the least viable theory.
Despite exhaustive investigations, advances in forensic science, and public fascination, the Zodiac Killer's identity remained officially unknown. The case became a template for unsolved serial crimes, a puzzle with pieces scattered across time, memory, and myth.
Just go back a minute, though. Do you think he could have been... He was involved with law enforcement, because I think that is a strong possibility, you know. Even though there's no known suspect, it wouldn't surprise me if it was.
In my gut, I think he was a policeman or he was something to do with the police force. Because I think that would give you the confidence to take the risks that he was taking. You'd have to know somewhat how the police worked. And it also makes sense to me that, I know we don't know much details about the first killing, but certainly the second one where he got out of the car with his headlights on full beam, he had the flashlight and stuff like that. I said it in the first episode, but that just, it just screams policeman to me, or someone imitating a policeman.
I was going to say, maybe it was somebody who wanted to be a policeman, because you find that quite often where it's somebody who didn't fulfill their ambition or potential, do you know what I mean, and wanted to be in law enforcement, and so kind of feel as if they've got like a tie to it, you know, and they know quite a lot about it because they're interested in it. Although I don't think there's ever been a policeman suspect, has there?
So actually recently there was, I know you're not on TikTok because you're too old, but on TikTok there was this guy that came out, and let me just say this beforehand, there's been a million people that have come forward saying, oh, my dad's the Zodiac killer, my granddad's the Zodiac killer, my, I found a book in the loft and my great-granddad said he was the Zodiac killer.
Somebody even found like a box in the cellar with a hood in, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. So there's been multiple people that have come forward and said this. However, I watched all of this guy's videos on TikTok, and he basically claims that his granddad is the Zodiac killer. And it's a guy called Richard Hoffman, who was a Vallejo police detective at the time of the Zodiac killings. And he posted about 25 videos naming all the reasons why he thinks that his granddad is the Zodiac killer. And you know what? It's the most compelling evidence that I've read from anyone about someone potentially being the Zodiac.
Yeah, I just watched a bit of it, and I think if what he says is true, it ties in directly with what evidence they've got.
Well, so it ties in with what we were just saying about the law enforcement link, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, and I've not seen that before, you know, until you showed me, but it does make me think that there was some kind of police connection, possibly. And that fits right in with it, doesn't it?
Well, apparently his granddad, Richard Hoffman, was one of the lead detectives on the Zodiac case as well. There's interviews with him on, like, professional interviews and everything where he talks about the case.
And didn't he just say at one of the murders, his grandfather was on duty that night in an unmarked police car in plain clothes?
Yeah, it was the murder of Darlene Ferrin and Mike Majot. He was basically saying that Darlene, who was actually married at the time, was having an affair with his granddad, Richard Hoffman. And when the Zodiac killer pulled up and got the torch out and came close to the window, apparently she shouted, oh my God, that's Richard, he's going to kill us.
I think there is some sort of basis, some factual basis to that, that she was married, but she was seeing somebody else. So you could tie it into that, couldn't you?
Definitely. And I know it sounds stupid because it's just like a TikTok, but all of the reasons that he gives could be viable reasons. Nothing seems too far-fetched. Maybe I'm just trying to make it fit because I truly believe that he was something to do with the police, or he was a police officer or detective or something. So I don't know, but it was just really interesting because you never hear the name Richard Hoffman being mentioned.
I tell you what, he seems like a better suspect than Arthur Lee Allen.
That's what I thought. One of the most interesting things that he was saying about his granddad was the spelling mistakes that he used to make. And obviously because he was a police detective, he used to write a lot of police reports, especially on this case as well. And a lot of the reports have similar spelling mistakes to the Zodiac. So they both made the exact same spelling mistakes. And there's got to be something in that.
That actually fits in quite well with the Zodiac's personality, doesn't it? Because if he's writing police reports out with these spelling mistakes in, it's almost right under the police's noses, isn't it? I mean, maybe he was a policeman himself, but maybe he kind of despised the police force in a way.
But surely someone would have picked up on spelling mistakes that are similar to one of the most prolific serial killers of all time.
This brings us back to Arthur Lee Allen, though, doesn't it? Because they were so focused on him that maybe just people just didn't notice. You weren't looking at a fellow police officer for it.
It's that tunnel vision thing again, isn't it?
Yeah, especially someone who's actually on the case. You know, you wouldn't think that, would you?
But when you think about it, is it a bit genius that it could be him? And he's a detective from his side, I mean. Why would anyone suspect him? Because he's a detective?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So he's just flying under the radar, isn't he?
It's like in plain sight. So sometimes that's
But to me, this case is so far-fetched and there's such a lack of evidence that, to me, that is a really viable explanation for it.
Sounds like he fits the bill to me. I mean, if this was in this day and age now, probably it would have been solved. But again, we're going back to a different time, aren't we, when they didn't have the same methods. Or they took a lot longer and things weren't maybe preserved the right way.
In 2021, a team of independent investigators calling themselves the Case Breakers made headlines by naming a new suspect in the Zodiac case, Gary Francis Post. Post was an Air Force veteran and house painter who lived in California and died in 2018. According to the Case Breakers, he bore a strong resemblance to police sketches of the Zodiac and had a history of violence and disturbing behaviour. Former associates alleged that he controlled a small cult-like group and that he had boasted about crimes resembling the Zodiac's. They also claimed to have found forensic links, including scars on Post's forehead matching the Zodiac sketch and bizarre photographs and writings discovered in his darkroom. One of their boldest claims involved an anagram hidden within one of the Zodiac ciphers that, when decoded, allegedly revealed Post's full name. Furthermore, the Case Breakers suggested Post may have been responsible for the 1966 murder of Sherry Jo Bates in Riverside, California, a murder some experts believe could be the Zodiac's earliest known crime. However, the FBI and law enforcement agencies remain unconvinced. Officials have stated that the evidence is purely circumstantial and not enough to draw definitive conclusions. Many seasoned investigators have urged caution, noting the risk of confirmation bias in cold case investigations. Still, the name Gary Francis Post reignited public interest. Was he truly the Zodiac, or just another man with a dark past pulled into the orbit of an enduring American mystery? I mean, it's just the same as the other suspect, isn't it?
It's just, you could just name anyone. I mean, I don't know what the evidence is that they think they've got. It says it's circumstantial again, another load of circumstantial evidence. Basically, anyone could say anything.
But it's all circumstantial, isn't it? That's the point.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing, again.
I mean, I find it interesting that they're saying hidden within one of the ciphers, they reveal this full name. Because like you said in the first episode,
that's something that he would do.
That's something that he would do, yeah, but have they decoded it right? Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There's so many variables there.
I mean, you could probably pull something out like that and the rest of it not make any sense, but really it should all make sense.
And make it fit, yeah.
But then I think he wrote it so things didn't make sense because it's so infuriating. Do you know what I mean? The saying about Sherry Jo Bates being the first victim, or possibly the first victim. For all we know, there could have been many victims before then, but he didn't put his name to them like he started doing. Maybe. Exactly. That was the whole point, because he wasn't getting any recognition for them.
Well, and I believe the Sherry Jo Bates murder is considered one of his earliest known, because they found a handwritten poem underneath the table. She was basically at a library and they found a poem underneath the desk and they did handwriting analysis and
it was the Zodiac.
Basically decided that it was the same handwriting as the Zodiac, so that's why that case is associated with the Zodiac.
But there could be other cases that way before are not that attributed to him, that were him, and he didn't get on to, like, giving his name in, you know, the way he did, and maybe that's what it was. He wasn't getting any recognition, so eventually that's what he started
that's
doing.
That's why he gave himself
so
a name.
There could be 10 other people or 20 other people, couldn't there? Because just by the later cases, the ones that we know are him, and we still say him, but I think it is a him, there was a level of expertise, wasn't there, and daring and confidence about him. So he's obviously done it before. It wasn't a first murder, was it?
No, he definitely had some practice runs, hadn't he? So what do you think about Gary Post?
I don't know all the evidence about Gary Post, but I'll look that up and have a look. Just the fact that you said it's purely circumstantial.
There's no concrete evidence. But there's no concrete evidence on anyone.
He's just as much a candidate as anybody else, I suppose, but there's nothing that would make me think that it was him.
This kind of reminds me of, like, Jack the Ripper, in terms of there's so many options in terms of suspects, but there's not that concrete evidence for any of them.
And the range of suspects in this and the Jack the Ripper case are all diverse, you know. There's some with Jack the Ripper, there's somebody, the Queen's surgeon, there's a painter, there's some lunatic, you know what I mean? There's a butcher, there's something else, you know.
Yeah, in this case, I'm convinced that it's someone to do with law enforcement, or with a law enforcement background, or, you know, a lot of knowledge of law enforcement. I don't know why, I just have a strong feeling.
I do as well, because I think it was someone who was keeping track of the investigation.
Without a known identity or arrest, the Zodiac Killer became the subject of intense psychological profiling. FBI profilers, criminal psychologists, and behavioral analysts studied his letters, crime scenes, and patterns to sketch a portrait of the man behind the mask. The Zodiac showed classic traits of a psychopath: intelligence, manipulativeness, lack of empathy, and a craving for control and notoriety. His escalating violence, from distant shootings to up-close stabbings, suggested the killer growing bolder, more confident, and more sadistic. His letters revealed a need for recognition, and his use of complex ciphers showed not only intelligence, but a desire to engage in a deadly cat-and-mouse game with authorities. Profilers often suggested he was a white male in his late 20s to early 40s during the killings, likely living or working in the Bay Area. Some experts theorized he may have had military training, given his apparent familiarity with weapons and tactics. The choice of victims, young couples parked in secluded areas, a lone taxi driver, suggested opportunism, combined with a desire to dominate and terrorize. His signature symbol, the crosshair, indicated a man who saw himself as a hunter, omnipresent and in control. Despite numerous suspects over the decades, no conclusive match to the psychological profile was ever confirmed, deepening the mystery. I think the profilers have got that spot on.
I do, which is why I don't know why they couldn't either rule in or rule out Arthur Lee Allen, because there was plenty of interviews with him, so, you know, they would have been able to study that, surely, and come to a conclusion.
Well, I think they're right in what they're saying about, you know, he's getting bolder, he's getting more confidence, he's getting more sadistic, the crimes are getting a little bit more violent as it goes on through the story.
Because it's that thing, isn't it, where he's not satisfied with what he's doing, so it escalates, doesn't it? That's a pattern, isn't it?
And I think, like you said, he probably felt like he wasn't getting the recognition that his work deserved.
Which makes me wonder why he didn't get himself caught in the end, because still no one knows his name. Or maybe the power
he felt. Yeah, but people do
was...
know the Zodiac, don't they? People know,
they know the
name,
yeah,
the Zodiac.
Yeah.
I think he was happy with that.
Or maybe he just wanted it to be an unsolved, you know, enigma for all of time.
Well, as of now, he's got his way, hasn't he?
Well, he is the most notorious killer, isn't he, in America? So he definitely achieved that.
The Zodiac Killer wasn't content to merely kill and disappear. He craved attention, control, and above all, mystery. Beyond the letters and tones, he left behind ciphers, puzzles deliberately designed to challenge law enforcement and the public alike. These cryptic messages were his signature, a way to communicate on his own terms. The first cipher, known as the 408 symbol cipher, was cracked within days by a school teacher and his wife. Yet the killer's identity remained elusive. The message was a boast, not a confession. Over the years, the Zodiac sent multiple other ciphers, each more complex and confounding than the last. The most famous of these is the 340-character cipher sent in November 1969. Despite decades of expert analysis, this cipher resisted decryption, its meaning a tantalizing secret locked away. It wasn't until December 2020 that a team of private citizens, a group of codebreakers from the US, Australia, and Belgium, finally cracked the 340 cipher using computer-assisted cryptanalysis. The decrypted message, however, was a cryptic taunt rather than a confessional clue to his identity. It read, "I hope you are having lots of fun trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show." The TV show likely refers to a 1969 episode of the Jim Dunbar Show where a man claiming to be the Zodiac called live on air and denied the accusations. So basically on this show, a guy had called up claiming to be the Zodiac, and yeah, what happened was they played the recording to some of the two surviving victims, and they said, no, that wasn't the same voice that the Zodiac had. So therefore, they basically concluded that it wasn't the Zodiac that called the show, and that's what he's referring to when he said, that wasn't me on that TV show. Other ciphers remain unsolved, fragments, possibly incomplete puzzles that frustrate cryptologists and enthusiasts alike. Zodiac's coded communications remain an open challenge, a haunting reminder that the full truth may never come. More than 5 decades later, the Zodiac Killer's legend looms large. His case changed how law enforcement approaches serial killers, emphasizing profiling, media strategy, and forensic advances. The Zodiac inspired books, movies, documentaries, and podcasts, a pop culture icon of fear and mystery. His letters and symbols have been recreated in art, music, and literature, symbolizing the darkest intersections of intelligence and cruelty. The Bay Area remains haunted by the memories of the victims and the fear shown by a killer who vanished without a trace. Families of the victims still seek closure, and investigations continue to hope for new breakthroughs. With each new suspect, each newly cracked cipher, and every retelling, the story evolves, a chilling reminder that sometimes the shadows we chase are as elusive as the truth itself. As we close this chapter on the Zodiac Killer, we're left with more questions than answers. A haunting riddle that has puzzled investigators, code breakers, and true crime enthusiasts for over 50 years. This is a story of terror and cunning, of a man, or perhaps a man who wanted to become a legend, who challenged society, law enforcement, and the public with cryptic messages and cold-blooded violence. The victims of the Zodiac were more than statistics. They were young people with futures stolen, families shattered, and communities forever scarred. While the killer may have slipped into the shadows, their memories remain vivid and urgent. We remember David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen, Darlene Ferrin, Cecilia Shepherd, and Paul Stein. And though the ciphers and letters continue to captivate, the ultimate truth, the identity of the Zodiac, remains locked away in darkness. But every code cracked, every suspect investigated, and every new theory explored brings us one step closer to that light. So, that's pretty much the case of the Zodiac in a nutshell.
Well, there's been that many suspects along the way and that many stories that have been added on. There's lots of other things associated with it. You know, people have found things, as you say, and there's other crimes that may have been his or may not have been his. So you could go on and on with this story, to be honest, but that is the basis of it, that he was a notorious serial killer in the 1960s and he was never caught.
I also can't believe it's been 50 years. Basically, well, it's been 55 years now because we're in 2025 and this was in 1969. It's a long time, isn't it? And it kind of, I think people are probably giving up hope that we're ever going to know who the Zodiac was.
Unless there's some definitive evidence, as in a handwritten confession that he's left that has not been opened yet or something. It's weird to think that he's probably dead now.
Well, stranger things have happened. You know, they caught the Golden State Killer after, I think it was 30 years or something, not long ago.
I just think he's probably passed away now, don't you?
I think all of the people who are suspected have died. And I think whoever the Zodiac is, yeah, I mean, they're either very, very, very elderly or they probably have passed away. So I don't think you're going to get that confession or an arrest or anything like that in the case. But I think, you know, never say never, but there is hope that...
I think the one thing that would have cracked it was if there was CCTV at the time. I mean, that's a big thing now, isn't it? You know, you can, they would have been able to, especially in the killing in the city, there would have been some kind of footage of it. They would have been able to see, wouldn't they, the person? Unfortunately, at that time, there was nothing like that.
No, and I think, like you said, unless he's left a handwritten confession or...
And we don't know that he hasn't. What about if his family actually know? Would you want to sort of say, I mean, I know that fella on the TikTok thing wants to job his granddad in big style, doesn't he? But maybe
well,
they
yeah,
don't
I think
that.
If it was a family member of mine, I'd want people to know, yeah, that what he was the Zodiac killer. Like, I'd want people to have an answer. Do you know why? Why would you hide it?
Because would you not be ashamed? And would you not? I mean, say it was your granddad. Do you know what I mean? And you know him a certain way, and then you found this evidence. Would you want people to think of him like that? Maybe
I think that's a bad example because it's true crime related. Then yeah, I'd be like, oh my god. Granddad was the Zodiac killer, are you having a laugh?
I'm just saying maybe some people would not like that, you know. And they'd feel disloyal as well, maybe.
I think so much time's passed and like we said, the likelihood of them still being alive is not very high. Nothing can really happen anyway other than people saying, yeah, he was the Zodiac and that's it really.
So if you had to guess, I know you're saying you think it's a police officer. Is that the route you would go down then? You don't think it's any of those suspects that were named?
Honestly, after watching that TikTok claiming it was his granddad, Richard Hoffman, I would go, it's Richard Hoffman or it's someone within law enforcement. I really don't think it's Arthur Lee Allen and I really don't think it's any of them other names we mentioned.
I don't think it's Arthur Lee Allen, even though, as I say, they strongly try to point it towards him. And I feel a bit... if I'm right, I could be wrong, but I feel a bit sorry for him, really, because he went his whole life, didn't he, with this, you know, suspicion around him all the time.
Yeah, and do you know what? In the end, if he was going to go down for it anyway, he probably would have just said, all right, fine, I am, you've got me.
But you'd be amazed at the amount of people even on the deathbeds don't confess. It's because being a psychopath involves that element of control a lot of the time, doesn't it? And they will not give it up, right? Up until the last breath, basically. So
I think it depends if it's what you said earlier about did he want it to just be this kind of enigma.
But that's a power there as well, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah. Well, because he has the answers.
Because he outsmarted the police and that was the whole point of it, I think. But I personally think that he definitely did more murders than those, that they weren't the first ones.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if that's all he did.
Whether it was just Sherry Joe Bates or whether it was more before that, I don't know.
Who would you say if you had to put your money on it? Or did you literally have no clue?
I've just no clue, really.
You're normally quite strong with your suspects as well.
I just think there's no evidence, no definitive evidence.
I think what interests me the most about this case is the lack of evidence. I think just the fact that there's not one piece of solid evidence tells you really
how much care
he took.
There's the DNA, but, you know, it's just DNA on a stamp, isn't it? There's no, what's that word they use? this new chain of, you know, authenticity sort of thing. That could have been anyone, you know.
They've got nothing else to compare that DNA with to say, well, we found this DNA on the stamp, but we also found matching DNA on the knife
or
handle.
Or Alan Straw.
Yeah, or whatever, yeah. So I just think...
I wonder why they didn't... Well, they must have had his DNA.
But how has he committed so many murders with multiple weapons and there's been nothing left behind?
And they're saying that Arthur Lee Allen had similar guns. Didn't everyone in America have out? I mean,
because also, he even left like the shell casings behind from all the shootings and stuff.
He did that on purpose for a clue, didn't he?
Well, possibly, but that also kind of makes me think strongly that it's someone to do with law enforcement because.
Yeah. But wouldn't
they would know.
But wouldn't they pick them up then because they knew it?
Well, that's what I was kind of getting at then when I said about the shell casings, but like you said, maybe.
It was left there on purpose.
Maybe it was left there on purpose as a bit of a red herring kind of or something. I don't know.
Well, if it was a policeman, he's not going to use his police gun, is he?
No, exactly.
It was kind of like a fine line between leaving enough evidence to torment them, really, and...
But not incriminate himself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, policemen, surely they're supposed to have that kind of mind because they deal with criminals, so they've got to be kind of one step ahead all the time.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and I think, you know... If you are a law enforcement officer, you know ways to get around things. You know how law enforcement are going to approach this case.
I was going to say, because what they're doing is they're keeping up with what's going on. They know what the police's next step is all the time.
Exactly. And he knows how they're going to investigate things. He knows probably the next move they're going to do before they know they're even going to do it. And that's what makes me think that it had to be someone in law enforcement. But
it's always the best way, isn't it? Having an enemy in the camp.
Exactly. Exactly that.
And that's happened lots of times, like in the war and things.
Well, that is the case of the Zodiac Killer. And like we said at the beginning, there is lots of material you can go and watch to do with this case.
But if you're going to watch anything, watch the film Zodiac with, who's in it?
It's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, the actors are great in it, I think. The one who plays the detective, is it Mark Ruffalo? He's really good. Mm. But they're all really good. And it's based in like a newspaper office, isn't it? And Jake plays the cartoonist who was doing sketches and things there. And he went on to write a book, the actual character, didn't he? And he's an actual person. He went on to write a book about it.
But it's quite an informative film as well as being like entertaining as well. So it's a good kind of introduction to the case as well.
It's got some dark humour in it, but all the main events are there, all linked. And obviously, as I say, artistic license, they've kind of padded them out. I think Robert Downey Jr. plays one of the journalists within the office is dead funny, don't you?
Yeah, but you can see why this case intrigues us so much and why we wanted to cover it. So if you are interested, go and have a little read up on it, see if you have any ideas who you think it is and if you can crack any of the ciphers.
I was gonna say, yeah,
because if you look at them ciphers, that just blows my mind how people can even begin to solve them.
But you notice the way they solved the last one, they had to run it through like a computer. Obviously they didn't, maybe not had that at the time. And it's come down to that. The human brain couldn't decipher it. So how did he work that out then? So you're saying he's a bit of a thicko, but he actually was really... Oh, you're talking about Arthur Lee Allen, which you could be right.
Yeah.
But
the Zodiac definitely had some level of intelligence, for sure.
When they were saying he could be army-based kind of, you know, somebody was in the army, or that could be quite true because they deal with a lot of things like
they? So just to end this episode, if any of you out there think that your granddad's the Zodiac, please let us know. Right, everyone, that brings us to the end of our two-part special on The Zodiac Killer. We really hope you enjoyed it, and that brings us nicely to the end of Season 2 of Murder, Mother and Me. We'll be taking a short month hiatus for the month of August, and we will be back to regular programming in September. To keep you busy until then, you can listen to all of Season 1 and all of Season 2 of Murder, Mother and Me now, and if you're lucky, we might drop a couple of bonus episodes.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
And remember, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.